This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He is Jamel White. Hello, Jamel. How are you?
Well, listen, let me tell you something, Doc.
Yeah.
Why do you got to go so deep in every time? Every time you go so deep, it don't even have to be that way. You could just announce the name and we just get to the work.
All right. So here's what we'll next time you come out, I'll be like, all right, welcome in Jamel White, former Browns running back, now coaches track at Riverside. Boom. Is that what you want?
You do what you got to do. You know what? Matter of fact, I need to get the radio. I'm going to try my best to get me my own radio show, and then I'm going to have you as a guest, and I'm going to just do it for a straight get back. And I'm going to find out whatever I want. I do have something on you, but I'm not going to use it yet. This is not the time.
Oh, man, don't go there. And he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. But I'm only talking about positive things the way you do. You talk about things in a positive way. Did I say anything derogatory about you? No.
No, nothing. But you know how I am. So,
because you get embarrassed. You know what? I want you to be proud of the things you've accomplished in this world. Just like you would tell your kids that are running track, right? You got to be proud to be better.
I would say that. So
see?
You're right.
So I have learned something from you over the years, haven't I?
I don't know if you learn anything from me, but you're right. I give you that. You're right.
All right, Jamel, let's actually have a serious conversation about the Browns for about 36 seconds here. If you're playing for the Browns right now, what are you thinking? I mean, they got two wins, and we're going to come back on the other side of the bye. Maybe a very winnable game against New Orleans, and maybe you can change the temperature, at least in the locker room. Help me understand what it's like to be in this position when you're on a team that's struggling to find wins and struggling to find an identity.
Let's see. I would have to get back to the basics, I guess, man. I would go back and just try and figure things out. Like, when you're a professional and you're playing a professional sport, you're looked at differently. So you have to go in, you have to take that mentality as, all right, my contract may or may not be up, but a team could get rid of you whenever they want, to be completely honest, unless you're really up there. But you have to start playing. You have to find something that you want to play for. If it's the coach, a contract, whatever the case is, you have to get it together, and you got to go back to the basics and figure out, you know, how do I stop? If you were one of the guys who are getting penalties, I need to stop that. Do I go with the quarterbacks and go in the quarterback room and kind of figure out what they're doing? Do I go ask for extra reps with the quarterbacks? Do I work extra hard? These are the things that would be going through my mind. And I would bring other people in with me and just be a leader of the team. That's how I would look at things.
What's it like playing for tape? It's just as a pro when everything's falling down and you're just looking around, you're going, man, I gotta look good because I got to keep this career going.
Man, so playing for tape is one thing. Like, I think, and this is just my opinion, when you're giving your all every game, regardless if you're winning or if you're losing games, you're always playing for tape. I mean, but you're trying to help your team succeed. I think they both go together. If you play well, regardless of why you're playing, like if you're tape or not, it just looks better. I remember growing up and from high school all the way to college, they used to say the eye in the sky don't lie. And it's true. Like, the effort that you put in, the things that you do, every year you're playing for tape, no matter what team you play for anyway.
All right, if you're Kevin Stefanski, I don't know, you're Andrew Berry, who spoke yesterday. I mean, how do you get through the rest of the season by I know you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but keeping the locker room together and not having people pointing fingers. And the other part is not having everybody looking and saying, well, it doesn't matter what that guy's saying because he's probably going to get fired at the end of the year. I mean, you've been in locker rooms like that before, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. I you know, I've been in a locker room like that. Well, it was the 1 year where, you know, my second year, our coach got fired. It was Chris Palmer. He got fired. Then, you know, Butch came around and he started acting up, and then they got rid of him. So the reality is, man, you got to just keep it together. That locker room, it can separate a lot of people, you know. So if the environment becomes negative, it just makes everything bad. It's not a good thing. And you don't want to be around that type of negativity, because then it spreads out on the field. Guys are not happy. You know, they are then just really looking like, I don't care about nothing else. I just care about the tape that I do. I don't really care about what's going on. And you don't want that type of environment. And then from a coach's, if you're a player looking at the coach, I think Kevin Stefanski is like, he's one of those coaches that you do want to play for, one of those coaches that you do want to keep in-house. And even though it's sad, I truly believe that players have to do their part. But so much is put on the coach to where if I'm a player and I want to keep him around, I'm going to talk to the other players, be like, look, man, we love playing for this dude. Let's go out and ball out for him so they don't get rid of him. And that's what I would do. Like, dude, when we had Butch Davis there, people didn't want to really play for him sometimes, and they didn't care what the result was going to be. And it wasn't a good atmosphere to be involved in sometimes.
Former Browns running back Jamel White joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm gonna ask you a really dumb question, Jamel, that I've always wanted to ask. You ready?
I'm ready.
What does a professional athlete do on a bye week?
Oh, get your body ready, man. Most, you know what? I'm not gonna lie to you. Most people go home because it's been rough and they need to disconnect for a little while. What I did was I stayed here and I lifted weights. I looked at extra film. If I was nicked up, I took care of my body. But that's what I did, man. Like, I would get ready for those next couple of more weeks. Sometimes people don't get a bye week to the last game. And I've been there before where you get a bye week at the last game. But
oh, that's brutal when you guys have that.
Yeah, I know, man. And sometimes it's like you do need to disconnect sometimes, especially when you're in the position that the Browns are in right now. You kind of want to get away from all the negativity if there's negativity around, and just disconnect for a minute and then get back on to take a couple of days.
All right, what's a great leader in the locker room when you're in this situation? Like, I would think folks are going to be looking at Myles Garrett. If you're a head coach, you got to pull that leadership team together, right, to make sure that everything is going in the right direction, because – you know as well as I do, if you're young in a locker room, you're always looking to see who the elder statesmen are, primarily because they've figured out a way to stay in the league as long as they have and to get pretty nice paychecks, right? So what do you look for in a leader when it comes to being on the field as a player?
Somebody who's going to be positive. I think that's the biggest part. Like, when I look for somebody to be a leader and being positive and leading by example, and I think that's just the regular things that people should look for in a leader. And that's just not in the locker room. That's just in life in general. So being positive, having a good attitude about what you're doing, making sure that, you know, everybody's on the same page and everybody has the same goal and the focus. Even, you know, the guys that are playing for tape, making people realize, all right, listen, if you're playing for tape, these are the things that you're going to have to do. And I think they have guys in the locker room that's going to do that. I really do. I think they have guys there that actually understand that and are going to bring those younger players and be like, look, man, let's get it together and, you know, work as a team and try and, you know, finish this thing out strong.
Tell me somebody who was a leader that you played with so that fans can kind of get a feeling like, oh, I thought that, but now I know that's true.
Oh, Kelly Holcomb, he was a good leader. I've been around a ton of them. Roman Oban, Kelly Holcomb, Couch was a really good leader, man. Like, even when, man, people used to get on Couch, and like I said before, he went through the whole thing with people booing him when he got hurt and clapping and all that. Not one time did this dude ever just flip the switch like, man, forget Cleveland, blah, blah, blah. He was always like, dude, let's get on the field and do this. And mostly, the majority of the time on offense, because that's what I play the majority of, when you got in the huddle, it was always the quarterbacks that were the leaders, man. You didn't look to a running back or a wide receiver. The quarterbacks was the ones that got in the huddle and be like, hey, listen, let's get this first down. Let's do this. Let's do that. And that, you know, and that's why they get this money now, man. So when I was in the locker room, Kelly was big. Tim was big. Roman Oben was big. Orpheus Roy was big. It was a ton of them. Even Fuller was a big leader. So I've been around a ton of leaders, man.
So you play the position of running back in the NFL. You see things a little bit differently than the rest of us do. How do you think Nick Chubb looks, Jamel?
Well, let's see. I think, if I'm being honest with you guys, I just think coming off an injury like that, and I know he's had it before, the mental part of it, not wanting it to happen again, I don't think he's 100% himself yet. I think that's still going to take some time because, to me, he's not as explosive as he was before. And that's not that he can't do it. It's just that mental aspect of being hurt and then having to come back and taking hits. And now you're worried about people hitting you in your legs because he's a bigger back, right? So that's what they're going to do. They're going to have to go in at his legs. And nowadays in the NFL, Sunday, week in and week out, what do you see? Big tight ends getting their legs taken from them. Mm. Big running backs getting their legs taken from them. If they want to make a rule, that's going to be good. I don't think any DB should be able to come in with his shoulders lower than your knees. I really don't believe that. I really believe that they should, if they want to make a rule to help all this stuff, make that rule. Because they have rules for everybody else. Running backs can't run into DBs with their heads down.
Right.
You can't. You can't show them the crown of your helmet. If they come in and they're blitzing, you can't crown them up like we used to. So why can't they make that same rule? But for him, it's the mental aspect, man. I mean, and as a running back and being a person that was in that position, has been hurt before, getting past it mentally is the biggest hurdle, not the physical stuff.
All right, let's just and I know you're super positive, so I don't even know if I want to ask you this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. At the end of the season, does someone have to take the fall for what happened? Let's just say that even if they only win a couple games this whole year, and maybe they win 4, 5, I'll be optimistic. Let's say they win 5 games and end up 5-12. Does someone end up taking the fall? And does someone take the fall? And then assuming that it is someone that's going to take the fall, is it Barry? Is it Stefanski? Is it Dorsey? Like, who do you think ultimately ends up taking the fall in the situation? It is the not for long league, and we all know that. So this isn't personal. This is business.
Right. And here, let me expand it a little bit bigger for you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a coach that takes the fall. It could be players that take the fall. Hmm. You could get rid of players. You could cut them or trade them away and be like, listen, if you weren't doing this, it could be players that take the fall. So, you know, it does not have to be a coach. But to answer your question, yeah, somebody's got to pay. Somebody's got to pay for it. I mean, how do you justify, you know, 1 year you're just couple of years you're really good, and then next couple of years you're not as good. And I know everybody likes to blame the quarterback, and but the reality of it is the quarterback is the second person to touch the ball on the football field. Not the first. He is the second person to touch the ball, the center. But the reality about it all is you have to have all the pieces in place. You have to have a good wide receiver, got to have a good lineman, got to have running backs, got to have – football is the ultimate team sport. You can't do things just by yourself. So, you know, Deshaun was not doing well in certain people's eyes, but he's a different type of quarterback than some of these other quarterbacks. He's made to roll out of the pocket. The play calling is going to be different with him compared to a pocket passer. So it's completely different. So – with that aspect out there for everybody, you can't just look at it as, okay, it was the play calling. Play calling wouldn't be the same if you have a pocket passer. Well, it was what the defense did. Well, if your linebackers are fast or slow, that determines what type of defense you put out there. You know what I mean? So it's different.
Hmm.
But somebody does have to take on a fall.
All right, let me ask you this, and as I'm just curious. And as you look at football in general, just like the big picture stuff, you know, we talk about high school off camera. We talk about college off the camera. We talk about pros off camera. If you were going back through it again right now, and you were, let's just say, like you did at South Dakota, how much different would your college of career, how much different would your college career have been different today than it was when you played and started off? Like, I can't see you staying at South Dakota. I can't believe I said that. I can't see you staying at South Dakota as long as you did with the transfer portal now and NIL and all those things. If you could go back and kind of look at history as it played out for you, if you were in today's timeline, how do you think it would have played out?
And the answer is step one, invest in Apple stock.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I would do. But, dude, if they had deals like they had right now, oh, my God, my life would be so different. And not that I would, you know, change what my life is, like my kids and all that stuff. But, dude, I was the only thing in South Dakota.
Oh, like, yeah. We know.
I would have had so many deals. It has been crazy. And then for the NFL stuff, you would last longer. It's just the rules are so different to where you could wear Guardian hats. You don't have to tuck your shirt in. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. It's so many different things to where now it used to be looked at crazy if you celebrate. Now it's expected. And then everybody does it. You don't get to hit no more at practices. You don't get to do this. They're trying to make it longevity for all these players. So, yeah, if I was back in college, NIL deals, transfer portal, you could just jump right in all that stuff if you want to go somewhere else. But here's the flip side to that. That transfer portal is a killer for these athletes coming out of high school.
True.
Because you may be a good athlete, but guess what that coach is waiting on? Well, I tried to recruit this person, you know,
but doesn't
last
that,
year.
Doesn't that help out the South? I only have like 10 seconds left. Doesn't that help out the South Dakotas of the world?
It does.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think so too. It does help out the South Dakotas of the world. Yeah, it does.
All right, you were an All-American there, and of course, you're an All-American with us all the time too. So thank you, Jamal.
Well, I do appreciate it.
And you didn't spill any tea on me. That's why I like
Thanks,
you.
Man. I appreciate
Goodbye,
it.
Goodbye, Jamal.
Next time, spill more tea on Andy.
Don't spill any tea on me. Goodbye, my friend.
I want to, believe you.
I know
See
you,
my
do.
Man.
Goodbye, Jamal White.
Take it easy, Jamal. Thanks.
You can watch him on Spectrum News 1 immediately following Browns games. He's got the postgame report there. So, and of course, former Browns running back, and of course, All-American at South Dakota.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.